Praise the Lord. We do want to pray this morning as we go into this new series. And just as we take a moment and pause and reflect on all that's going on in our lives and in the life of our country and in the life of our world, there is much to pray for. The Bible admonishes us to pray without ceasing. And that is, man, if ever there's been a time for that, it's right now. Good morning to my sweet niece, Abrita. Good to see you, darling. So, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for who you are and who you are in us and through us. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word with your people. We thank you that your hand of protection is outstretched to us. We know, God, even according to your word, that the ones who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are under your protection. And so, God, we claim your protection today. We thank you for your protection today. Lord, we pray you would look on those who have suffered loss. Look on those who are even now struggling, not only with COVID-19, but a myriad of other diseases that still are around. God, we pray that you would be who you are, the healer to those, God. Lift them up, strengthen them, turn things around in their lives. Father, we pray, God, for our own Deliverance Temple Ministries, God, that you would continue to guide us even through this time. Continue to give us wisdom and insight. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we can physically gather again to praise your name as never before. Lord, in the meantime, here we are, giving you service, giving you honor, giving you glory, for you alone are worthy of it. And so bless these, God, who have come. Bless each one who shall watch by replay. Let this word be an encouragement and a strength to us, even now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Good morning, Sister Libby. Great to see you. So we are going to be looking, as I said, at some scriptures that kind of may have you thinking, well, this is kind of like a Bible study. This is kind of like, real church school. I know sometimes I am not exactly the traditional fella when it comes to church school and Bible study, but we're going to do a little more of something that looks like that today as we look at some characters in the Bible who found themselves in the midst of crisis. Now, listen, I'm convinced that you're going to find yourself in some of these stories and can relate to some of these characters very much. You may not be going through exactly the same thing, but then again, they haven't gone through what we're going through here. Good morning, Sister Brecca. We haven't seen anything like this before, and I pray we don't again. But in the midst of this, we can reflect and remember the fact that God has brought us through many, many things before. Perhaps not a global pandemic, but he has certainly brought some things, brought you through some things that are meaningful for you. Speaking of which, and I'm not going to take long here on this one, believe me, but, you know, there are those who are pushing all kinds of theories about what's going on, what they think is happening, and what the government's doing and not doing, and what have you. And in the midst of some of that conversation, there have been folks who say, well, this is all just fake. I don't know where you've been living with 60,000 people dead. It was not fake to them, nor to their relatives and loved ones. And so what we're going through is very, very real. It's not fake to, 20 million people who are out of work. It's not fake to any of those individuals. And so I want you to understand that we are in the middle of a real crisis. There's no need to sugarcoat it. There's no need to say, well, it's not happening. You can't see me kind of thing. It's real. And all of us are feeling it in one way or another, whether, you know, directly or indirectly, we are feeling the effects of this situation. But I want you to know that God has not been caught by surprise. Not at all. Not at all has he been caught by surprise. And Sister Patricia says, she could write a book on the many deliverances that God has manifested for her, over time. So when we look back over our life, the song said, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. Hallelujah. Well, good morning to you, Sister Teresa from Charlotte, North Carolina. We are so glad to have you this morning. And so we are encouraged, I hope, by the fact that if he's brought you through whatever he brought you through before, he can bring you through whatever you're going through right now. I've heard testimonies. I say testimonies. They are somewhat testimonies, and sometimes they just, you know, this is what's going on in my life, Mark, from some of you. And I know for a fact some of you going through some stuff. You're like, you know, look, as if COVID-19 wasn't enough by itself, I got this stuff going on. I got relationship issues. I got kids who are crazy. Okay, can I just say that? Kids are crazy sometimes. Lord help us. Each week we're sitting down all day Wednesday with grandchildren, trying to help them, you know, get through another day of schoolwork and that kind of thing. I'm a teacher, but I ain't signed up for all of that. But here we are, right? So I want you to know that although we're facing some of the most critical times in our lives, none of this has caught God by surprise. And he has a plan and a remedy for your situation if you trust him. If you trust him. Now listen, you can take another bite, as Eve and Adam did, off the do-it-yourself tree, off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, off that I know how to figure it out by myself. But I'm going to tell you, that is very likely to have you in a tough situation, if not a deadly situation, right? So as I begin to think about what we would talk about this month, and with all that's going on, because as I've made note, you know, ad nauseum already today, you can't ignore it. It's all around you. It's the first thing you hear when you turn on the news. It's the first thing you hear when you're talking to you know, your neighbor or your friend or your relative on the phone. It's all on the internet. It's everywhere. Which is why they call it a pandemic. It is worldwide, and it's got your attention up front and personal. I've mentioned a couple of times to you that I have a cousin. She's a second cousin of mine who is Filipino, actually lives in the Philippines, born and raised in the Philippines. And we talk back and forth once in a while. And she was talking to me the other day and telling me that they, you know, their lockdown has been extended. And as I've noted before, in this venue, lockdown for her is way different. So I asked her, I said, is the government helping you guys out? You know, because we're getting some help from the government and that kind of thing. Good morning, Minister Felicia. Are they helping you guys? She said, there's so much corruption in the government over there that although money has been released from the top, it doesn't really trickle down to where they are. And she said, if you say anything about it, if you talk out too loudly, trying to clap back on the situation, you may find yourself or your family hurt or worse. And thankfully, at least here in America, we haven't got to that point where, you know, the FBI is showing up at your door because you said something about the government and, you know, they come to get you over COVID-19, or because you didn't get your check, you know, yet. And So you decide to go blast it in the newspaper, and some men in black show up at your door. That has not happened to us yet, hopefully not. But it is happening in other places. And so, you know, do be encouraged by the good that we've got going on. But also keep in mind and keep in prayer those who are dealing with this pandemic in a much more harsh way than we are experiencing it ourselves. So without further ado, I want to go to the scripture this morning. Those of you who have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, we're going to go to chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, and we're going to start today down at verse 8. Now, just a little bit of background quickly on chapter 17. At the beginning of the chapter, Elijah, the prophet of God, had predicted and prophesied to Ahab, who was the king, that there would not be any more rain come upon the land until he said so, until he had the word of release to prophesy rain, there wouldn't be any. Now, then as now, you know, you need water. Everything needs water. You need water for agriculture. You need water for your own body. 70% of our body is water. 3/4 of the planet is water. Water is pretty important. Although it's an extremely simple molecule, you cannot live without it. And so for this prophecy to come forward, you know, was not one that was greeted with happiness and joy, obviously. When they told us, we're going to be on lockdown, you can't go to church, you can't go to the bowling alley, you can't go to the movies, you can't go to your favorite restaurant, just sit home and be quiet. That was not happy news. I mean, it might have been cool for like the first 2 days, and then you're like, okay, Sister, you know, Pastor Carol, I know, is celebrating. Not celebrating, I'm kind of joking with that. She's marking 7 weeks, 7 weeks in the house. She has not left the property, to my knowledge, in 7 weeks. That's a long time to be right there. But praise God, even though the news, not necessarily great coming our way, God has not changed at all. He has not forgotten about us, and none of this has caught him by surprise. In fact, here in 1 Kings, the prophet gives a heads up to everybody. It's fixing to be a drought. It's not going to rain for a minute, y'all. And you need to get yourself in mind with that, in alignment with that truth. Gather up whatever you got to gather up, because ain't no rain coming for a minute. Good morning, Sister Renee. So he drops this lug on the king, and then he's out. He's out. We find in verse number 2 that the word of the Lord comes to him and says, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. I want to stop just a moment. Now, we're getting down to verse 8 is where we really want to go today, but this is important that you note here, because a couple of times in this particular chapter, we are told that God commanded someone or something. In this particular case, it was the ravens looking out for Elijah. Now, I don't have time to get into it today, but let me tell you, this is one of the most unlikely of sources for your lunch, is that the ravens would bother to bring it to you And personally, you know, not that I'm a gourmet or anything, but I'm not sure I would have been all that excited about what they were bringing me, knowing ravens. But they were bringing him food every day because they had been commanded to do so. We're going to come back to that word in just a minute. They've been commanded to do so. So he went, did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat. Say what? Bread and meat. I don't know where they finding it from. I don't know where they came up with it, but they got it, and they got it every day, and they delivered it to him like a FedEx package, like Whole Foods from Amazon. Boom, right to your door, Elijah. In the midst of a famine, he had water from the brook. He had bread and meat delivered to him by the ravens each and every day. I want you to know that God has made provision for you. He's made provision in his heart and mind for you, and he's making literal provision for you as you trust him. Notice that Elijah here doesn't say, I don't think I want to go over there. I don't think that's a good idea. You mean I got to leave where I'm at? I'm kind of comfortable here and go over there and hang out at the brook and all this. I don't think I want to do that. I think I got a better idea. I think I got a different plan. Yeah, that was a pause on purpose because some of us be right there when the Lord directs us, trying to provide for us, trying to make a way for you, trying to open a door for you, in a situation he's already prepared for you. Listen, when crisis comes, it's absolutely imperative that you seek the Lord and that you do what he's telling you to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And in this case, you'd be sacrificing your own life, quite literally, if he hadn't done what God instructed him to do. Listen, you need to know that God is trustworthy. Trustworthy. There is none more trustworthy than God. There is none more faithful than God. And so you absolutely can and should trust him, especially in the midst of a crisis situation. Because there are so many unstable and non-dependable sources of information and instruction out there. Lots of folks think they got a better idea. Yeah, mine too. But I'm telling you what, God is the best source of information and instruction. He better than CNN, Google, or anybody else at letting you know what's going on and what you need to do. Word. Obedience. I hear you. And so he tells the prophet, go hang out at the brook. I have commanded, man, I love this. I have commanded the ravens to bring you food every day. And they did so. The ravens brought him, this is verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat. Hey, hallelujah. Bread and meat. I ain't got time to talk about it. In the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. Twice a day, like clockwork, they show up. More dependable than UPS, y'all. He sat there and waited, and they brought him food every day because they had been commanded to do so. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to hold still here. Let's see here. And he would drink water from the brook. Verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up. Say what? Lord, I thought you told me to come here. I thought you told me, Lord, this is what I'm to do. I thought you told me this is the place I'm supposed to be. I thought that was an instruction from you. Did I miss you, God? Now, before you let something stupid like that come out of your mouth, pause for a moment and just reflect on the fact, wait a minute, I've been drinking water every day while other people in the drought. I've been eating bread and meat delivered right to me every day. Okay, all right, God. So when things switch up on you, when there's a curve thrown, and Lord have mercy, we have had a lot of curves thrown our way over the past couple of months. Amen. It has been the case for us that we've had to be adjustable and flexible. Two things that, you know, maybe you're not keen on, but that are absolutely necessary in this time. Listen, actually, they're necessary all the time, but our awareness has been heightened by the situation that we're experiencing. Our awareness has been heightened by this global pandemic. Our awareness has been heightened by the fact that we're not able to just jump up and do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. So especially then, good morning, Minister Regina, especially then, it is important to get a word from the Lord. It is important to press in, as the old saints say, so that you can hear what God is saying to you. Listen, he's there all the time. He's speaking all the time. But our awareness and alignment with him is very oftentimes off. And it is to our detriment, especially in crisis times, it's to our detriment that we not seek the word of the Lord, that we try to figure it out ourselves. That's not the best plan. So the river dries up, the brook dries up because there was no rain in the land. Wait a minute. Wasn't that me that prophesied no rain? Yeah, that was you, Elijah. Okay, so should you be surprised that the brook dried up eventually? I guess not. Okay, but guess what? God, the same God who had you prophesy this word in the first place, the same God who commanded the ravens to feed you, the same God who allowed the water to flow in the brook, the same God who told you where to be, is the same God right now. In the middle of a crisis, another crisis. The brook dries up. We already in crisis. It's a drought. But I got it good for a minute because the Lord's taking care of me. The Lord has provided in the midst of this craziness. But then here comes a curveball. And I have another crisis in the middle of this crisis. What is us going to do, Pastor Gwen? We're going to trust God. We're going to seek God. We're going to hear from God. And we're going to do. That's right, Sister Libby. We're going to do what he says to do. We're going to obey. It's in your best interest always to obey what it is that he's instructing you to do, because he's always looking out for your best interest, absolutely all the time. So verse 8, this is where we're going today, y'all. This is where I wanted to go. We're talking about characters in crisis, characters in crisis. Verse number 8, then the word of the Lord came to him. This is a second time then. Third, if you count the fact that he had been told to prophesy that it's going to be a drought. Secondly, then, when he says, go hang out by the river Cherith, and I'm going to take care of you. The brook dries up. He finds himself in the midst of yet another crisis. Life has thrown him a curveball. He could sit there by the brook and cry and die. Or he could say, Lord, what's next? Can I tell you, please, I'm going to, that the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do is say, Lord, what's next? What's next? What's your word for me now? I don't know what to do. I'm reminded of a scripture a little later in Chronicles. We look at Jehoshaphat, three armies coming against him. And one of the most striking parts of that story, of that passage, good morning, Sister Pam, is that he says, we don't know what to do, Lord. See, it's all right to admit you don't know what to do. You don't have to be the smartest one in the room all the time. And if God's in the room, you're not the smartest one in the room. Let me tell you. And so he says, I don't know what to do. Lord, what's next? That was Jehoshaphat. Elijah, similarly here, he says, okay, brook's dried up. What are we doing next? And God tells him in another word. Yes, he sends another word to him and says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Now, just very quickly right there, this again is an odd kind of situation. My God, today I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. This is an odd situation because it's an unlikely command. It's an unlikely command that he would tell him to go. He's a prophet in Israel. Why are you telling me to go to this heathen nation, to go up to Zarephath in Sidon? These folks who don't even worship you, and you're sending me there in the midst of all the craziness that I've already been going through, and now I've had yet another crisis in the middle of my crisis, and here you're telling me, go to Zarephath? Now, God, I thought it was strange when you told me that you'd commanded the ravens to take care of me. That was strange enough. I was scratching my head. I was tripping big time until they started showing up with bread and meat every day. And then, you know, I'm like, I guess this works, Jesus. Have you ever been there? He give you a crazy command. He give you something that's like, what? Are you sure about this, Jesus? He's sure about it. And you say, okay, we're stepping out on faith. Lord, help us. Okay, that's good. I ain't gonna mess with you there. It's faith. But can I tell you that there's no risk in obeying what God has said? Yes, it requires faith, but he's even given you that. It's a gift. And as you express that faith in what he just told you to do, you will see the manifestation of what he has in mind. I don't know why y'all be getting me all excited and everything. Lord Jesus. So yeah, it's a crazy command. It is absolutely crazy. The most unlikely of food sources. He has commanded the ravens. So now he tells him, go to Zarephath up in Sidon and stay there. We are not just passing through. This is not just going to be a quick one and done. I need you to go there and stay there. Why? Everybody's asking why at this point, right? He says, behold, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Man, I can throw this thing somewhere, right? Are you serious? Lord, are you serious right now? In the midst of all, do you realize there's a drought going on, God? Do you understand? Yeah. So you send ravens to feed me. Now you're taking me to a heathen country. You're taking me out of my element. You're taking me out of my comfort zone. I wasn't in my comfort zone with the ravens, but now I'm really out of my comfort zone. Crisis after crisis, here I am. You telling me, march up to Sidon, hang out for more than a minute in Zarephath, because you have commanded a widow to take care of me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. That's right, Pastor Carol. Because it don't make sense. These are two of the most unlikely sources of provision. Oh, I hope y'all getting that right there. God has commanded some unlikely sources of provision for you in this crisis. God has commanded some unlikely sources of provision for you in this crisis. Spiritually, emotionally, financially. Come on out the comfort zone, Sister Shannon. He's got provision for you. Come on out. Do what he said. Obey him. He's got provision lined up for you. It may look crazy. It may sound crazy. But let me tell you, some of the craziest, I was telling you earlier, some of the greatest businesses that we know today came out of times of recession and depression. It was the most unlikely time. They got the most unlikely idea, unlikely sources of provision in the crisis, unlikely sources of help and support, and they're millionaires today because they followed a crazy instruction. A crazy instruction in a crisis. Listen, crisis time called for crazy stuff. These are not normal times, folks. These are not normal times. These are not normal situations. You're in a crisis. They in a crisis here in this scripture we're looking at. Drought. Everything dried up. Ain't nothing growing nowhere. And here comes crazy instruction. Now, I told you I got excited earlier. Yeah, I'm a little excited all around today. I know. I got a little excited about this word commanded. I ain't gonna get deep on y'all, but I will tell you that the Hebrew word used both places there, same word, when he commands the raven and then he commands the widow woman. Now you say, wait a minute, how in the world are you gonna command a raven? Raven can't talk, unless you're Edgar Allan Poe or something. They can't talk. How you going to command a raven? That's crazy by itself right there, yeah? And here, a widow woman, did you speak to her, God? I don't see the scripture here. Maybe it's in between the lines somewhere where I don't. But I don't see it, Minister Regina. I don't see the scripture there where he shows up in some epiphany to the widow and says, here's what's going down. Here's what I want you to do. How do I know that that didn't happen? Because she's completely surprised. She's completely taken off guard when the prophet shows up. Getting ahead of myself. Let me move on. It said, we ain't stopping you, Mark. Go ahead, move on. So she says, let's see. Let me not get ahead of myself. Lord, have mercy. So, he rose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, this is verse 10, I'm in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering sticks so she could make a fire. And he called to her and said, please, give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. She's agreeable to that. Whatever. I got a little water left. Sure, fine. Okay, here. Here. As she was going to get it. Woo, did y'all just hear that? As she was going on her way, as she was being obedient, as she began to follow the instruction. Listen. Sometimes all you need to do is get started. You don't have to see the whole end of the story. You don't have to see all the way to the top of the staircase. You just need to make that first step on the instruction that God gave you. You just need to step out. You just need to start. Can I say that word to somebody today? Start. on the basis of what God has instructed you, on the basis of what he's commanding you. And so here she is. She starts going to get the water. And as she goes to get it, he calls her again and says, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Make me a little hoe cake also here, please. Ah. But she said, as the Lord your God lives. I told you about unlikely sources. She's not even a Jew. She's not even a follower of Yahweh. But she knows and recognizes this prophet of God as a Yahweh follower. And she says, look, as sure as you believe in your God, as sure as your God lives, let me tell you about my situation. I have no bread and only a handful of flour in the bowl. I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Can I tell you, can I jump ahead of the story and tell you, don't give up? Don't give up. Don't give up. You started out well. Don't give up. When life throws you a curve in the middle of a crisis, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give up. Elijah says to her, do not fear. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and your son. Did you get that? Did you get how God will drop something on you and you're so busy looking right here? You're so busy looking at what's right in front of you. You're so busy looking at the situation that is on the news. You're so busy looking at what somebody just posted on Facebook. You're so busy looking at the text message you just got about how crazy it is that you're ready to just quit. You're ready to give up. You're ready to throw in the towel. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. This is not the time for giving up. It's time for holding on. This is not the time for throwing in the towel. It's time for being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Relying on the word of the Lord, depending on the word of God, and obeying the instruction that he gives you in the middle of the crisis that you find yourself in. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. My God, today, according to the word that he spoke, according to the obedience. Listen, what Jesus tell the so many people in the New Testament as he was healing them. Your faith has made you whole. Your obedience has brought the thing full circle. Manifestation is yours as you obey. Even in a crisis, especially in a crisis. Ha! That's when you really need a word from God. And that's when you really need to determine in your heart of hearts, whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Wherever he tells me to go, I'm on my way. No matter how crazy the instruction, no matter how unlikely the situation, can I tell you about this word commanded? I thought I was through with it. Can I tell you that the word can also be interpreted assigned? Yeah, I'm going to let that stick with you for just a second. I have assigned some ravens. to take care of you, Elijah. I have assigned the widow to provide for you. Listen, she don't know how she gonna provide for herself. But she is on assignment. She doesn't realize, my God, today, I hope you're getting this. She doesn't even realize that she's on assignment till she's in the middle of the assignment. It wasn't like God told her 5 weeks ago, hey, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost prophet through. When you see him, he's going to be dressed in a long robe, going to have a blue. No. How do I know this? She was gathering sticks to make her last meal for her and her son and die. She was done. She had cast in the towel. It was over. But obedience to the man of God, to the word of the Lord, triggered her assignment. Jesus, have mercy. Triggered the assignment. It put it into active mode. She'd been on the shelf. God already knew what he was going to do. God already had a plan. Way over yonder, he down at the brook, she up in Zarephath, but God had a plan. God began to work that thing. God began to bring them together. He had people on assignment. He had the ravens on assignment before the drought was ever predicted. He had assigned them. He had commissioned them. And their commission, their assignment was activated by obedience. I just said something. Their assignment, their provision for themselves as well. Because it says that the widow ate, her son ate, and Elijah ate for a long time. Not only his provision, but hers was wrapped up in her obedience to the assignment. Her obedience activated the assignment and let loose the power of God into the situation. The anointing was all over that thing because it was God's plan. He just needed a bit of obedience. He just needed a bit of obedience to activate that plan and to activate the flow of provision. My God, I'm trying to leave you alone right now. Y'all are messing with me. I got to get off this broadcast, but I'm telling you, the flow of provision will be activated by your obedience in the crisis. Your obedience in the crisis will activate the assignment and the provision. Yes, ma'am. Whew. Trying to calm down. Not doing a real good job of that, but y'all forgive me. I hope today that you are getting something out of this, that your heart is encouraged. I'm excited about this series because, listen, Linda, if God has done it before, he can do it again. He will do it again. And guess what? He's not scratching his head waiting till the last minute to figure it out. He already knows what he's going to do. The question is, will you obey in the crisis? Will you listen to what he's telling you and then do it, no matter how crazy or unlikely it seems? Can I tell you this? And I got to go. There are some of you on this broadcast live right now. There are some of you who have had dreams, who have had words given to you already, prophetic words given to you already, that you put on the back burner, that you have said, well, that's probably not going to happen. It would have happened by now if it was going to happen. No, it was waiting on the crisis. It was waiting on the crisis. And when the crisis showed up, what the crisis waiting on? The crisis is waiting for your obedience. The crisis is waiting for you to activate the flow of provision by your obedience. Can I tell you, not many days hence, yep, I'm going to go prophetic on you. not many days hence, some of you are going to see dramatic changes, favorable changes in your life because you have obeyed, because you've stepped out. It may be something that God has prompted you to go back and pick up off the shelf. It may be something brand new. It may be a surprise to you. But when you hear it, do it. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate, because you're about to activate your assignment. You're about to unlock provision in your life, even from highly unlikely sources. I'm reminded, and I'm closing with this, I'm reminded of one sister who was sharing with me how that her ex-husband of many years had given her some money. And she's like, you're giving this to me? Now, this is for me? Can I tell you, she was not expecting money from him. No. But it happened. An unlikely source. God has got provision you don't know nothing about. God has got you. He's got you health-wise, relationally, financially, emotionally, intellectually. He's got you. He's got you. Seek him, listen to him, and then obey what he's telling you to do. Even and especially in the crisis, you're going to be a character in crisis who comes out successfully at the end of the story. Amen. God bless you today. I hope to hear you all in another hour or so as we join with the saints of God on the Sunday morning worship conference call for Deliverance Temple Ministries. If you need the number, just check the announcements pinned at the top of the Facebook page. And the number is there. We look very much forward to speaking with you again at that time. It's going to be good. I know God is just, he on a roll today, y'all. He on a roll today. He on a roll. God bless you, Sister Tyra. God bless you, Sister Kamara. God bless you each and every one. I appreciate you so very much. Thanks for tuning in. And tell a friend, man. Check out the replay. This was pretty good, I think. God bless you. Bye-bye.